Now, there are two ways in which the Spirit of God will lead us. At least two ways. There are more ways, but I won't go into too many of these. We'll talk about two ways. A general way and a specific way. What do I mean by general and specific? Well, what I mean is that the Spirit of the Lord leads us in an overall direction, and then also He will lead us in specific details. What do we mean by overall direction? First of all, just like the Israelites, they were led very specifically out of Egypt to the land of promise. That was the general direction everybody was going, to the land of promise. That's what's happening. So every Christian, if he is a son or a daughter of God by the grace of God, and that is possible only by His grace, means that he is heading away from life as it is in this world under bondage to sin, and he is heading to that eternal city, pictured as a city of God. He is going to eternal life. He is going into the life that is in God, where Jesus said, I will go and prepare for you, to prepare a place for you. Now, so that would be the general direction of our life. We are all heading towards life that is eternal in Christ. And what do we mean by the specific? The specific, of course, has to do with our day-to-day life, because in that general leading, we have every day to make decisions about this and about that, right? So you may all be traveling, and we may all be traveling like the Israelites in one great column of people moving in that direction. But we have every day, each of us, individually, to make decisions which are not necessarily the decisions that other people have to make at the same time. For example, you have to decide, am I going to go to this school or to that school? Am I going to accept this job or am I going to accept that job? These become specific. Now you are still traveling in the overall direction of going towards the kingdom of God, towards the new Jerusalem. But you have many decisions to make along the way. Which of these decisions should I make? So we are all being led in that direction, but we also need leading in these particulars. Now, how can we receive His leading in these particulars? Now, since a lot has already been said about the general direction, we can say that the overall leading of the Lord comes to us, as our brother Jeffrey mentioned, from His Word. His Word, the Word of God, gives us all the vital general principles by which we are to act. As He says, we were guided, say, by a principle of love. Shall I adopt this person? Shall I help this person who is in need? Shall I help this person who is desperately in need? I don't need any specific guidance for this particular decision. There's no specific guidance needed for that. Because the Lord already said, you will love your neighbor as yourself. And so the Good Samaritan does not say, Lord, this guy is dying here, he's bleeding to death, do you want me to help him or not? If not, I'll just leave him to bleed to death. And for this kind of thing, you don't need to ask questions. General, overall instructions have been given. This guy is bleeding to death, you don't have to ask for guidance. You stand there for 10 minutes to pray. Should I help him? No, I'm going now. Yes, okay, I'm coming. No, okay, I'm going. It's like some Christians, they go back and forth, and trying to make up their mind if it's the Lord's will or not, you see? Oh, this general instructions for such situations, as our brother Jeffrey rightly said, has already been made. We just follow the general guidelines that have been laid down for us. Of course, that is giving a very simple illustration. When we come to other particulars, it's not quite as simple as that. We are giving a very clear instance, clear cut, it's easy to decide, but if you were to decide which college are you going to, that becomes a lot more difficult, isn't it? Which principle guides in such a matter? Does the Lord want you to go to Toronto? Does He want you to go to Vancouver? Does He want you to go to... Which principle? Looking into the Bible, does it say somewhere Vancouver somewhere? No, Vancouver. And maybe it says Winnipeg. It doesn't say Winnipeg either. No, I don't know where I'm going. Am I going to Vancouver or to Winnipeg? How do you decide? Which way are you going to decide now? Being led by the Spirit. Now you tell me, what are you going to do after that? So you close your eyes and you say, okay, here's the map, and I'll go and... And suddenly you'll find your finger on the North Pole. Because to do that in a Canadian map is very dangerous. Because Canada goes all the way up to the North Pole. So you best not try this thing too often, and I find yourself in the wrong place. How do you decide? Very practical questions, right? So you're going to have to learn what it means to be led by the Spirit. Now, how do you decide? I wonder how most Christians are going to decide. So they are waiting for something silly to happen. And out of the blue, somebody comes to you, and you meet somebody from Vancouver. You say, hallelujah, you see? I suddenly met somebody from Vancouver. That's why it means the Lord wants me to go to Vancouver. Is that right? Not necessarily so. Does it? Our sister Dillis here knows very well the case of somebody called Charles in Wales, for whom I had a great love and concern, and I eagerly hoped that he would serve the Lord one day. And he himself has a desire to serve the Lord. And so he knew that I was at BTI, the Bible Training Institute in Scotland, and he better make up his mind whether it's the Lord's leading to go to Scotland or not to go to Scotland, to go to Glasgow or not to go to Glasgow. And so he is trying to figure out the leading of the Lord. Should he go? Should he not go? And then so finally he plucks up all his courage. He got the application forms from the Institute, the Bible Institute. He filled them in, signed the forms, put them in an envelope, and he went on his way to drop it into the letterbox. And who does he meet on the way to the letterbox? The pastor of his church. Charles, what are you doing? Well, I'm mailing this letter. Ah, where to? To the Bible Institute. So what do you want to go to Bible Institute for? I think it's quite good to get some Bible training, is it? Are you very sure of the Lord's lead? I've been struggling about this for some time, is it? And somehow or other, this pastor, who I believe was not that much of a godly man, if I'm not entirely mistaken, put all kinds of fears and doubts into his mind. And so Brother Charles, instead of dropping the thing into envelope, puts it back into his pocket and he walks away, taking it to be the Lord's leading that he should not go. After all, a pastor said that it's not necessary to go to a Bible Institute. I mean, what higher authority in this world in spiritual things than you have than a pastor? Poor Charles did not know how to be led by the Spirit. It did not occur to him that even the Apostle Peter said to the Lord Jesus, don't go to the cross. The cross is not for you. Spare yourself this. And the Lord Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Don't think that because an apostle tells you not to go, therefore you shouldn't go. You see, that means how dangerous it is to follow the leading of the man or to think that the Lord leads through this man or that man necessarily. You need more discernment. That's why the Christian life depends on the spiritual perception. Being led by the Spirit is no easy thing. The first thing that happened to the Lord Jesus after his baptism, you saw what happened in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord led him into the wilderness. He was tempted by the devil there. And don't think that when you are led by the Spirit of the Lord, the devil will not be there to stop you on your way. And don't think that the devil will not appear as an angel of light, because the Apostle Paul says that even Satan will appear as an angel of light. And you are going along this way that the Lord is leading you in, and suddenly you see an angel of light standing in front of you. Where are you going? Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is leading me there. Look at me. Yeah, I'm looking at you. Do you see what I am? Yeah, you look like an angel. Right. I am an angel of light. Now don't go that way. I am an angel of light. Hey, but I thought the Spirit of the Lord was leading me that way. Don't you worry. You look at me. I'm telling you not to go. Paul says, if any man preaches to you another gospel, or even an angel comes to you and stands here and preaches to you, You don't listen to him. Not even an angel you will listen to. Because I have told you the word of truth, and you're going to follow this way. Wow, you say, this is getting more difficult. Just when I thought that being led by the Spirit was easy, suddenly I have to contend with pastors and angels and other such things along the way. This is becoming quite frightful, frustrating. Indeed it is. Yet to the path of eternal life, there is no easy road. You've got to learn to become spiritual. That's what it matters. That's what's involved. Now, also don't imagine to yourself that you become spiritual simply by going to a Bible school or anything like this. Spirituality is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It is not some acquiring of knowledge and this and that from the Bible, but learning to submit your life wholly to the Spirit of God and to nobody else. In the first instance, to nobody, just to the Spirit of God. And only when you have detected whether this person or that person is truly also living under the Spirit of God, then you might consider his suggestions, his advice, his words. But not until you have carefully examined whether he is a true or false professor of the faith. Now, what do we mean then by specific leading? That is why yesterday, and it will save me some time now, when I spoke about the voice of God within us, by which he speaks to us through the conscience. It is most important that your heart is so open and so sensitive to the Lord that he can impress deeply upon your spirit or speak to you in some way through your conscience that you know for certain, this is what the Lord wants me to do. He wants me to go to Winnipeg. How do you know? Because I was very quiet before him. I shut out every other impression. I did not allow the flesh to raise its voice. I did not allow other distractions to come my way. I did not allow myself to make a single sound. And I focused my whole being towards the Lord. How often have you done this, dear brothers and sisters? When was the last time you ever did this? Or is prayer for you a mumble jumble that goes through saying this and that and reading this and that passage and saying, reading this daily portion of it? It's very good to read daily portions of devotional readings. But you are going to go nowhere until you know how to be totally silent and focused upon the Lord. There is no easy way to this. You, when you want to listen to a radio program, you don't just switch on the radio. You've got to tune in until you get the right frequency, and you concentrate the frequency, and then you hear the sound coming through to you. Nothing very mysterious about this, in fact. It is simply a matter of directing your heart and mind to him, looking to Jesus. You know, most Christians never look to Jesus in any real, any practical way. They think that looking to Jesus is, again, another one of these vague statements about just, well, believing in him or whatever it means. Looking to Jesus means looking, focusing your attention to him. And I don't mean with physical eyes. Your whole spirit focuses upon God. I want to deal with this very practically. I don't want to talk about vague answers to vague problems. I want to be very specific about this. We are following generally in the direction of eternal life, but we have everyday important decisions to make. And our brother Wai was saying, it's like a chess game. You make one wrong move and you lose the game. How true. Some of us who play chess know that very well, isn't it? One wrong move and suddenly you find that all your soldiers are being taken away. Suddenly you find that all of you are being surrounded. And suddenly you have to raise your hand and say, okay, I surrender, I have no more moves. You made one wrong move and you are checkmate. And yet, when you consider how vital is the Christian life, how much is at stake, I'm amazed how carelessly we live. If you want to make the right move, you're going to have to follow the Spirit. If you're going to follow the Spirit, you're going to focus your whole attention on him. And at the beginning, you find it difficult to do. In fact, it's impossible to do until you are regenerate. until you are born of the Spirit. Otherwise, you can focus there all day and nothing happens. But when you are born of the Spirit, your spiritual perception becomes keen, or gradually becoming keener. Focus quietly. Have you ever just closed the door? The Lord Jesus said, when you pray, shut the door behind you. Close everything out. Now, sometimes we can't do this physically, I mean in a room, but we can still shut off all our senses. Most people cannot do that. They find it very difficult. And other people are here to shut out all other impressions and focus on the Lord. If you can do that, you are a very advanced Christian. Most people have to go into a quiet place, shut the door behind them, and there learn to focus. Look to Jesus. If you want to be led by Him, you have to look to Him. I will guide you with mine eye. Look at Him. How can He guide you with His eye when you're not even looking at Him? Now, only when you have done this will you begin to understand the reality of being led by the Spirit. But don't go and ask the Lord. Now, the relationship between the general and specific is very important. You cannot get general, specific guidance when you're not following Him in a general way. That is, if you are not even a Christian, it's no use asking the Lord whether you should go to Vancouver or Winnipeg or whatever, because your whole life is not in tune with Him. What's the point of asking Him that? You can't treat God as you would treat a fortune teller. Is it better for me to buy this house or that house? You see? Which will be better? Is it better for me to make this go on this holiday or that holiday? Well, if you want that kind of information, I presume that that's why people go to fortune tellers. You cannot get guidance from the Lord until your whole life is moving in the right general direction. Your whole life is in tune with Him. You have left the world behind, the flesh behind, and you are going into the kingdom of God in that direction. Only when your life is in tune with Him can you ask for specific guidance. There are many Christians who come to me and say, I asked the Lord to guide me in this and that, and He never let me. Of course He won't. Because after a few moments of talking with them, I realized that they have never received Jesus as King of their lives. They're not even going in the right general direction. Only when Jesus is King. Only when you have turned your back once and for all upon the world. Some people are willing to accept Jesus as King, but not to turn their back on the world. You won't get any leading. Nobody gets to the promised land without leaving Egypt, as we saw earlier. You are not going to go into eternal life unless you turn your back upon the world, upon your self-centered life, and make Him the center of your life. But when you have done all these things, and you have now learned to focus upon Him, let me tell you, He will guide you in specifics. You don't have to close your eye and put your finger on a map. He will direct you. He will lead you. Now, you can know, again, let me bring this back to the beginning, and we have to close now in a moment. Who are the sons and daughters of God? Those who are led by the Spirit. Don't kid yourself. Ask yourself very honestly, are you led by the Spirit? If you can't say with any degree of certainty you are led by the Spirit, you best think again whether you are really a Christian on the biblical definition of it. It is very vital that you think on it. God is the living God. He leads and He guides. In this time here, I don't have time to give a great many examples or details of this, but I can tell you, I preach this message with full conviction because I know it's true. I know the Spirit of God is real and He does lead if we are willing to follow. But many people are afraid of being led by the Spirit. Maybe one reason you are not led by the Spirit is really you are afraid. And it's amazing how many Christians are afraid of being led by the Spirit. Are you one of those? I remember when we were about to leave the Bible Institute, many fellow students confessed that they dare not be led by the Spirit. Why? Because when they were leaving the Bible Institute and wondering whether they should go to the mission field or become a pastor somewhere or other, they were afraid. They would rather make their own decisions because then they can choose the spot they like. But if they wait on the leading of the Spirit, they might say, I'd like you to go to the center of Africa, to the Congo, the jungles of the Congo, preach to the pygmies. Oh, Lord, Lord, I don't mind going somewhere else, but not there. You know, I'm very sensitive to the heat. And mosquitoes do really bother me. Of course, I won't talk about the low standard of living. I mean, I know we Christians shouldn't think about that. But, you know, there's something else. I don't speak the language and the cultural differences, and so the reasons go on. We are afraid to be led by the Spirit. And this means we run into another very dangerous problem. Selective leading. What do you mean by selective leading? It means I say, Lord, will you tell me what is your will? And then when you tell me your will, I will examine your will and decide whether I'm going to follow it or not. Yeah. Now, if you tell me to go to Vancouver, well, Vancouver is a nice city. You know, there's nice scenery, the air is good, you have the beautiful Rockies there. Ah, you're leading to Vancouver? Okay, I accept, I go to Vancouver. But then suddenly it says the leading is to Yellowknife. Yellowknife? Where is that? Yellowknife? I haven't heard of this place. And then you discover it's up there, way up in the northwest, so it's freezing cold in winter. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't think I would like to go to Yellowknife. I don't have enough people there, you know, to talk to. I'm a very sociable person. I get lonely very easily. I think I still prefer to Vancouver. What is the selective leading means? We want the leading of the Lord only to know whether that leading suits me or not. If it suits me, I go. If it doesn't suit me, I don't go. Well, let me tell you, that's one reason why many people are not led by the Spirit, because the Spirit of the Lord knows that all you want to do is use Him, and you can't use the Spirit of the Lord. He cannot be exploited by anyone. You either follow Him unconditionally, or you are not going to be led. Now, until the day you say, yes, Lord, I am going to follow you with no ifs and no buts, I follow you unconditionally, you know that the road is going to be tough, and that's why you got scared. And you're not so sure you want to be led by the Spirit, even if you know how. Now here we are dealing with all the crucial questions of being led by the Spirit of God. Be very honest with yourself. Are you prepared to follow Him wherever He will lead you? If your answer is, I'm not sure, that means He will not lead you. Let me put it to you very simply. He will not lead you until the day you say to Him, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do. And then you're suddenly, something chokes in your throat. What if the Lord says to you, you know this nice fat job you got? Give it up. Lord, that's so fast. I can witness to those people that I'm working with. Give it up. No. You see, these people look up to me. And my witness in this place is very vital to your ministry. Give it up. Lord, not so fast, please. I still got better reasons why I should stay. You see, you're sure you want to follow the Spirit of the Lord? Let me tell you this. You are not going to become a son or a daughter of God by any other means than by being led by the Spirit. And He might just lead you to do the one thing that you are scared He's going to ask you to do. Are you sure you want to be led by the Spirit of the Lord? Think on it carefully. And don't say, I sincerely try to follow the leading of the Spirit and He never led me. Let me tell you this, He will absolutely lead you. Unless I am a liar, unless the Word of God is a liar, I say to you, He will lead you. And nobody in this camp, not one of you, will leave this place without being led by Him, if you will follow Him unconditionally, with no ifs and no buts. If you dare to say that, and I challenge you, if you dare to say today to the Lord, I will follow you wherever you go with no conditions laid down on my part. Even if it means I have nowhere to lay my head, so I will follow you. Remember, somebody said, I will follow you wherever you go. And the Lord said, do you know what you're saying? Do you know that I have nowhere to lay my head? Do you know this world is not my home? Do you know that this world is not where I'm staying? I'm moving on. When you know that, then you say, I'll follow you wherever you go. Will you go wherever he leads? You're sure? And I will say to you, only those who are led by the Spirit of God will know that God is real. You have many times asked, why is God so real to somebody and he's not real to others? Those who are led by the Spirit of God, God of course is real to them because you're being led by him. You experience his leading. You know his ongoing work. That's why he's real. There's no secret to this. I can tell you if you want to know the secret, it's as simple as that. You commit yourself unconditionally through sick or thin, through wilderness or through the Red Sea or through anything else to follow him. By next year, this time, if we meet again, you'll say, God is real. I have followed him for one whole year. Unconditionally, I have followed him. And have I ever seen that God is real? Check me. If you have done these things that have been said today, and you commit yourself totally to following him, if by next year, this time, he's not real to you, I invite you to come and give me a beating up and said, you are a liar, you are indeed. No, you said that you follow the Spirit of God and God will be real to you, and I followed him for one whole year, 100%, and look at what happened to me. I ended up in the ditch. You have every right to be angry if that were so. And beating me up would be the least kindness you could do to me. Speaking the truth is what the matter is all about. God will lead you into exciting ways. What is more, let me say one more thing before we close. We started a little late, and we're closing a little bit late. Remember what I said at the beginning. To follow Jesus means to take up your cross and walk behind him. Where was he going? He was going to Calvary to lay down his life. If you pick up your cross and follow him, where are you going? You're going to go to Calvary and lay down your life. This time you can't die for your own sins. But as he laid down his life to secure our salvation, so we lay down our lives to pass on that salvation which he secured for the world. That means you're going to, when you are led by the Spirit, enter into a new lifestyle. You no longer live for yourself, you live to pass on life to others. You become a channel of life. And when you do that, he will guide you. Will he ever guide you? You know, the Spirit of God, just as God himself, loves us in a way that you and I cannot even begin to comprehend. I beg of you to understand this. He loves you even as you sit there at this moment with a love that you cannot begin to comprehend. You think your husband loves you? You haven't seen anything yet. God loves you with a self-giving love that no husband could ever love you with. Do you think your father loves you? You haven't seen anything yet. God loves you with a love that no father could ever give his child. Or you think your mother loves you? You haven't seen the love of God yet. I wish you could understand the love of God. He loves every person so intensely that he wants each person to come into eternal life. He is not deliberately making it hard. The road will be hard because the world will oppose us, not because God wants to grind us. Satan will oppose us. The flesh will oppose us. I say to every one of you being baptized today, you are going to face a lot of conflict and opposition because the world will rise up against you. But it is through these difficulties that you will experience his grace and his love in a way you never knew before. Let me share with you just briefly again what I from time to time like to relate. One of my earliest experiences of being guided, being led by the Spirit. Because this instance showed me just how much God loves a person. And some of you, as I said, I have mentioned to you this account before. And if you have heard it, then please bear with me. But many of you will not have heard. I remember this very strikingly because I was in London in those days. And I lived up in the north in a mission home in the north of London. And one day I was going to sit down to do my studies. And I've often said to you, God will speak to you often at the most unexpected moment, when you are not psychologically prepared. That's why you know that God speaks to you. And I was just about to sit down to do my studies when the voice of the Lord spoke to me very clearly. Get up and go to the central YMCA. And I looked at my watch, 9:30 in the night. I said, Lord, it's getting late. And by the time, London is a very big city, by the time I get there, it could be well near to 10:30 at night. And the Lord said, go. So I got up and I went. I got on my old motorcycle, started it up, and off I rode down to central London, which is where the central YMCA was. And on the way riding there, I was saying to myself, why does the Lord want me to go at this time of night? Then I have to go to school early in the morning. What is all this about? And as the Lord led me there, I was just going along trying to figure out. And then I thought, we have some people in our church. Some of the students are living in central YMCA. Maybe these are the people who have spiritual problems. And I was riding on pondering what this was all about. And then I was thinking, there was this brother there, and there's that brother in the YMCA, and maybe the other one. I didn't notice last Sunday when I saw them they had any problems. What's happening? Why does the Lord want me to go? And when I got there, I was looking for these brothers, thinking that this must be the reason why the Lord wanted me. See, we figure out what it's all about. And I met this brother in the YMCA, and I said, you got any problems? He said, no, I have no problems, I'm fine. I said, must be the next guy. So I went and looked for the other fellow. I said, you got any problems? He said, no, why are you asking me? I'm fine. What's happening here? So I went for the next guy. So you have problems, right? Could it be him? It's only he's the last guy left. You know, I have no problems. But no, this is really going to be a problem. None of these guys have problems. So what am I doing here in the middle of the city at this time of the night? And they were asking me, what are you doing here? I was afraid they were going to ask me that question. And to say to them, you know, I've been led here by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, they sort of look at you. What did you say? Led here by the Spirit of the Lord. Even today, few Christians know anything about this. But look in the book of Acts. Read in the book of Acts. The Lord said to Ananias, do this and do that for the Apostle Paul. He wasn't an apostle yet. Go and baptize him. Lay your hands upon him that he may receive the Spirit. And Ananias said, Lord, this man has been persecuting the church. And he says, don't be afraid. I have a purpose for him. Who is Ananias? Do you know who he is? I don't know who he is. He's just mentioned once in Acts, and we know nothing about him. And then there was a man called Philip, and the Lord said to Philip, go to that place, and the Lord went. Do these things in the Bible really happen, or is this just so many words? The Spirit of the Lord, notice, was giving specific guidance to Philip, specific guidance to Ananias. He gives general guidance to the whole church. He was giving specific instructions. And he says, go into the wilderness. There is somebody there, the Ethiopian eunuch, who needs help. You go out there and talk to him. Are these things very mysterious to you? Not if you know what it means to be led by the Spirit. And so there I was, standing in central YMCA, and I'm sure Brother Jeffrey and Brother Dennis know central YMCA in London very well. We used to have our church services in the chapel up there. And I was standing in that big lounge down below. I don't know what you call it, a lounge or something. And of course, it's the Siju and all that place too very well. I was standing there, and there were these several people who lived in YMCA standing next to me and still asking me, well, what are you doing here? Trying to figure out what's the answer to this question. But then I focused again my heart upon the Lord. The Lord, you brought me here. What am I doing? And for a time, no answer was coming. And I continued to tune in to the Lord. You see? Our spiritual radio, remember? Tuning in to the Lord. And as I was standing there, the Lord said, there is the man. And I looked in that direction and I saw a man coming through the door. Coming into the YMCA. I never seen him in my life before. That's the man. You talk to him. So I came, after all, not for those people that I thought might have problems, but for that man coming through the door. And so immediately I went to this man who I never seen in my life before, and I said, can I help you? And he said, yes. So our conversation began to develop, and I gradually learned that he was a professor from Taiwan. and that he was at a conference in Geneva for United Nations conference, I began to realize that he had come in to London just the day before, and he was going to leave London the day after tomorrow. So he would be in London only for those 2 days. And his heart was one who was crying out to the Lord for somebody to lead him, just like the Ethiopian eunuch. And he was a man older, much older than myself. And so I felt it was only appropriate that I would conduct him to the pastor and let the pastor help this man who was nearer his own age. And this man came to the Lord the next day, yielded his life, and he said, "Isn't it amazing? The Lord led me from Geneva to come here. I'm here for 2 days, and the Lord has granted to me the very thing that I have been seeking." Is it not amazing? I am led down from North London to come to Central London to be perfectly timed in by God's own timing to meet a man as he comes in through the door. The Lord says, "There is the man. You speak to him." He is the man who would be in London for only 2 days. He would be led to the Lord, enter into newness of life. Led by the Lord in specific ways. Do you think this is remarkable? The Christian life is amazing. And you say, "How do you know God is real?" When I tell you this, how can God not be real? That is my problem. It's not, is God real or not? How can he not be real? If you are led by the Spirit like that, how is he not going to be real in your life? You say, "Oh, yeah, well, okay, maybe you are one of those super Christians. I mean, I am one of those ordinary people. Thanks be to God. God never loved people so much as ordinary people. That's why I think Moody says he made such a lot of them. He wants to lead you. That's what it says here in Romans. I didn't say that. It's the Apostle Paul saying that. Let me give one more brief account and I have to close. How am I standing here in front of you today? If the Lord had not led me out of China, would I be here today? When God opened the gates of steel that could never be opened by any human power and brought me forth. I arrived in Hong Kong penniless. Because we were allowed, I think, at that time to take out 20 Chinese dollars. That's all we were allowed of Chinese currency to be taken out of China. And by the time I paid for my train fare down to Tsim Sha Tsui, you see, for those of you from Hong Kong, I know that the railway terminal down there. By the time I paid for that ticket, I was virtually penniless in Hong Kong, nothing left. And the Lord was leading me on to Europe. What? To Europe, the other side of the world? How do you go there with nothing in your pocket? He was kneeling in prayer before the Lord, focusing her heart upon the Lord, being led by the Spirit. And the Lord said to this very simple old lady, "Get up and go to Hong Kong." This elderly lady had never been outside the United States in her life, and going to Hong Kong, as I said, is like going to the moon. I think if you ask her where is Hong Kong, she had trouble finding Hong Kong on the map, you see. And the Lord still sent her to Hong Kong. You know what he sent her there for? One job. To meet somebody coming out from China, from Shanghai and going to Hong Kong. That person was me. He brought her there with one specific task. To send me on to Europe. And I've often wondered, why is it that there was nobody else in Hong Kong who was listening to the voice of the Lord, that he had to send somebody from the United States? One simple elderly lady. What he sent was not a pastor, not some great prophet of the Lord, one humble, ordinary woman. And you think you're very humble and ordinary? Thanks be to God, he speaks to people like that. This woman was no Bible teacher. She had never been to a Bible institute. She had never had any kind of accomplishments, spiritually or otherwise, in her life. But she had one thing. She listened to the Lord, committed to follow him 100%. And all through the world, the Lord was looking for somebody and found one person willing to listen. It's not that God doesn't want to lead us. It's the problem is he can't find people who are there to listen. And she came over to Hong Kong. And she came to Hong Kong, waited before the Lord, and the Lord pointed me out to her and said, "Here is the person. You see that he gets to Europe." And that's exactly what she did. And the details of this is fascinating in itself that I have no time to go into. She sent me on to Europe. She asked me to buy the tickets to Europe. And the next day after I left, she returned to the United States. We did not maintain contact after that for very long. She finished her task before the Lord, and that was it. Can you think of this? Somebody comes from Shanghai to Hong Kong. Somebody comes from Portland, Oregon, across the Pacific to Hong Kong. The Lord may send you. And you say, is God real? Have you some way to explain this? If you study psychology, can you explain this thing? Can you figure it out? Amazing, isn't it? Instance after instance of leading, of protection. Brother Jeffrey shared yesterday about how the Lord protected him. I was driving to the crossroads near my place. You see the stop sign, four-way stop sign. I came up to the stop sign, and as everybody knows in North America, who comes there first will go across first. I came up to the stop sign, I saw this great bus coming down. I saw the other side was no traffic, there was just a bus coming. And the bus stop is right in front of the stop sign. I reached the stop sign well before the bus. I was going to accelerate, and the voice of the Lord says to me, don't move. Don't move. So I was just going to press the accelerator. I held back. I stopped. And the next instant, that bus, that huge bus, went right across the crossing without stopping. It didn't stop at the bus stop. It didn't stop at the stop sign. It tore right across, and suddenly, I don't know whether the bus driver was dreaming, halfway across the crossing, he slammed on his brakes. The whole thing was screeching and made big black tread marks on the road. He pulled to a halt. He realized he had missed the bus stop, he had missed the stop sign. Think of it. If I had gone forward, being hit by, how heavy are those buses, 3 or 4 tons of steel going at 35 miles an hour, I would have been reduced to pulp by this. Amazing how the voice of the Lord said, don't move. As clear as that, don't move. I didn't move forward. And the next instant, the bus went tearing fast. How much He loves us. How much He cares. It's so wonderful. And you say, is God real? You tell me. If you walk with the Lord, you're led by the Spirit. You know the answer. I say, you walk with Him for 1 year, totally committed. Come back next year and tell me, is God real or not? You tell me. That's the challenge that this verse poses for us. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Ananias was no great spiritual giant. The Lord spoke to him. Now, I don't mean He will speak to you every day just to satisfy your curiosity. You say, Lord, are you there? Sing me a song. Then I'm sure you're there. Maybe you clap your hands. If you don't like singing so much, just clap your hands and I know, yeah, He's there. He is not there to satisfy our curiosity. If you're just curious, and we intellectuals are all very curious about this and that, He will not speak to you to satisfy your curiosity. But if it's to save your life, if it is to lead you to the salvation of someone else, if He is to lead you because you want to follow the path of eternal life, He will speak to you then. And may you know Him. May you be His son and His daughter by His grace. Let us pray.